Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Well, 2018 has been a big year for Free Talk Live so far. We've set a couple of new records. A new one was set today, actually. The first record we set was a little bit earlier this year when we finally surpassed 180 radio affiliates from coast to coast. That was a new record for us.
We're now on 187.
Yep, but we're about to lose one out in on the West Coast. They're changing their weekends up and
flipping formats.
Not a format flip, but probably they're going in a different direction. They appreciated the show.
That means, yeah.
I think it usually means they're going like lifestyle talk or whatever.
Okay.
Usually when you hear that, if they're not changing formats on the entire station. So, you know, you lose some, you gain some over time, and we've managed to continue gaining and have hit over 185 stations. So thank you to all of our great radio affiliates from coast to coast that air Free Talk Live across the United States, coast to coast and beyond, because we're on in Guam now. So again, thank you to everybody
out
there.
They have coasts there in Guam.
That's true. and then also, thanks to all of our Free Talk Live listeners and amplifiers who have made that happen, because if it weren't for our listeners who are contributing $5 a month to the show, we wouldn't be on near as many radio stations, because that's money that we invest into marketing the show towards other stations, for instance, and also internet listeners. And a lot of that factors in to the decision that Talkers Magazine made, which was to move us up. You were there, Mark, when we first got that meeting with Big Jim Davis back in the day at Real Radio in Sarasota, Florida, where we started the show in 2002. I think it was like week number one or two or three on the air. They called us into the office and went through what they called the rules of talk radio as written down by people who supposedly know these things. And they, it was like a good hour or 2 hour long meeting or something like that. And I took notes the whole time and, crossed out the ones I didn't like. And we've just been ignoring them ever since.
Pretty much all of them.
No, not all of them. There were a few good ones. But, one of the rules is you don't do an open phone show.
Right.
And that's what we've always done. It's always been open phones every single night, for better or for worse. You know, sometimes there are some god-awful calls. But if you don't, if you're not willing to take the god awful calls, you'll never get the real gems, I don't think.
Right.
That would sometimes be screened out by a call screener, because a lot of talk shows in the business, they've got very strict call screening policies where the call screener will only allow a person to call if they're calling on the topic that the talk show host is talking about, and only if they're taking a position that the talk show host is comfortable with taking,
right,
or comfortable with fighting against, or whatever. Whereas we just open it up to absolutely anybody who wants to call in about any topic anywhere.
So. Right. On our show, they don't even tell us what necessarily they're going to say.
All right, Mark. So what's going on with the military? $21 trillion. That's a lot of money. What happened?
Truthdig.com. Lee Camp writes, $21 trillion. That's not a typo. The Pentagon's own numbers show that it can't account for $21 trillion, that meaning trillion with a T. This could change everything, but I'll get back to that in a moment.
It won't change anything.
There are certain things the human mind is not meant to do. Our complex brains cannot view the world in infrared, cannot spell words backwards during an orgasm, and cannot really grasp numbers over a few thousand.
Somebody experimented with spelling words backwards during orgasms?
I'm sure your tax dollars paid for that. We can't conceptualize. We've all been in stadiums with several thousand people. We have an idea of what that looks like and how sticky the floor gets. But when we get into the millions, we lose it. It becomes a fog of nonsense. Visualizing it feels like trying to hug a memory. We may know that.
You're just adding zeros. Yeah. At that point, just adding zeros. It's just hard to really even understand it.
You may know what $1 million can buy, and we may want that thing that it can buy, but you probably don't know how tall a stack of $1 million bills is. You probably don't know how long it takes the minimum wage employee to make $1 million.
The national debt is higher than the sum total of all U.S. money in circulation, and that's assuming that none has been destroyed or anything like that.
Yeah, so it's an impossible task to pay off the debt, is what you're saying. That's the way the system is designed.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. First off, there's two money creating entities out there. There's the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Mint. So the U.S. Mint mints $1 coins, mm-hmm. And those are actual money created by the U.S. government, whereas the Federal Reserve note is money created by the Federal Reserve. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I don't – they're not print, I would have to look into that more, but they're not printing enough to do that.
Yeah, they're not minting enough.
But wait, so wasn't your idea that they could mint like a $1 trillion coin and then pay off
$21 trillion coins? Make about a platinum just for kicks.
I think that's going to work about as well as Iraq not taking reserve notes for oil.
Mark, you are sharing some what some people are going to find to be outrageous news that the U.S. military has just lost track of $21 trillion over the last approximately, 20 years?
Lost track of isn't the right terminology.
No?
What is it? Unaccounted for.
What's the difference?
Well, there's secret programs they don't want to tell you is going on.
Oh, so you're saying they know where it is.
They know where it is. You don't.
So
it doesn't make sense that it just disappeared out of a bank account. That's an incoherent claim.
Right. Remember what the foundation of the country is, right? We the people, you're told. And you're told that, well, if you don't like the government, change it because you're the government or something. Some nonsense, some nonsensical string of words that people put together.
Yeah, try telling a cop that when he's arresting you. Hey, I'm the government. Put me down, sir.
So, right. So, what do you give your would you give your mother a ticket? Do you give your buddies in the police department tickets? I mean, you know, those kind of things. But I mean, something's fundamentally flawed with the claim that we the people are the government of the United States of America when one organization, the Pentagon, not even the government, but the Pentagon, is basically spent an amount of money that we don't know what it is. With enough work, I could put lipstick on my boar, Bill Clinton, right? Mm-hmm. I could put lipstick on a hog, but he's still going to be a hog with lipstick on.
Yeah.
I mean, you can change a few things around the edges. You may very well create a golden age for New Hampshire into the future, but I'm relatively certain.
It's still a gang. Any political work at all is palliative. It's not getting at the problem.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, of course, the problem here, if you want to get at the real problem, is that people believe in the state, that they believe that despite all of its waste, despite all of its violence, despite all of the terrible things it does, despite all of the corruption, you know, the unending train of officials being arrested and put into prison. You know, look at Illinois, for instance, where, like, I don't know, almost all their governors go to prison. There's so many examples of corruption that are revealed to people, and everybody rolls their eyes and says, oh, there they go again, you know, because they can't change anything about it. So what do you do? If you can actually change how people feel about the state, if people were to decide that the state was as bad as slavery, and in my view it basically is, because essentially it's a new form of slavery. If people were to come to that conclusion and reject the idea of the state, reject the idea of coercing their fellow man, then the state could go away in the future.
If you were the government, you would know why you were $21 trillion in debt. And you don't have that information. Because if you were the government, it would be important for you to have that information. Mm. You'd want to know what your money was spent on. Not that you were giving $21 trillion, which is the amount of the debt, to an organization that's apparently completely unaccountable for reporting back to you.
Well, they're just going to say you're not that part of the government. I mean, you want to know, sure, but these are secretive things, and we're spending it on important things to protect national security, so we just can't tell you about that because you might be part of the government, but you're just the part that goes and votes. You're not the part that does anything else.
What doesn't make sense to me is why they don't just create a line item for that. You know, this is Black Line Projects, $21 trillion, have a nice day. Like, it's just disappeared from the books instead. That makes no sense to me.
They may very well have had a line item that said, secret. You know? I mean, it's secret would still be unaccounted for, right?
I would believe that a journalist would interpret it that way.
It would not be accounted for.
As an accountant, secret would be accounted, would be an accounting of
that
money.
Just because something's accounted for doesn't mean it's well spent. If you
that's absolutely true.
you know, typewriting business and you spend $21 trillion on Post-it notes, it's accounted for.
The $21 trillion number comes from the Department of Defense's Office of Inspector General, the OIG. Although, as Forbes pointed out after Mark Skidmore began inquiring about the OIG reported unsubstantiated adjustments, the OIG's webpage, which documented, albeit in a highly incomplete manner, these unsupported accounting adjustments, it was mysteriously taken down. Luckily, people had already grabbed copies of the report, which, for now, you can, he gives a link you can view here.
Thank goodness for the internet.
Yep. It's, sorry.
You know, too late.
Once it's there. It's there forever.
No take backs.
Right. here's something else important that from the Forbes article, which is one of the only mainstream media articles you can find on the largest theft in American history. I'm not sure that I would call this a theft. It's just an it's unaccounted for or sort of undocumented stuff. You know, of course, the Pentagon is going to spend large amounts of money on things that we don't get told about. But I think it's important to point out that while this is practical, it is not philosophically sound, because either you are governed by an organization of people who claim a percentage of the fruits of your labor and you have little to no effect on those that group of people. Like, people don't want to hear that.
From a completely utilitarian standpoint, it's kind of absurd that the Pentagon doesn't have just a line item of, you know,
secret.
None of your business.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
So this is kind of how that would happen anyway. There'd just be a line item that said, I don't see how this is different.
Hmm. And this is a quote from the Forbes article. So Forbes magazine quotes... on this accounting investigation, given that the entire Army budget for fiscal year 2015 was $120 billion, unsupported adjustments were 54 times the level of spending authorized by Congress. That's right. The expenses with no explanation were 54 times the actual budget allowed by Congress.
So Congress passes a budget that supposedly allocates an amount of money to the military, and they managed to spend 54 times that amount. How does that happen?
55 times that amount, yes.
How does that happen?
Who knows? I don't know. Well, you're the government. Why don't you know?
I'm not the government, and I never have been.
Well, they're probably not exactly paying Lockheed Martin in cash.
All right, Mark, you said somebody's got an explanation here for the $21 trillion that is unaccounted for.
This is actually for the unaccounted for $6.5 trillion.
Which is 1 year's worth?
This is 1 year's worth in 2015.
Okay.
This is in July 2016. The Inspector General, the report, they indicate that in their report that unsupported adjustments are the result of the Department of Defense's failure to correct system deficiencies.
There you go. Some system deficiencies, a little here and there. You lose some money here and there.
Right.
It just adds
54
up.
Times their budget in 2015 is just system deficiencies.
Yeah, that looks pretty deficient to me. All right, moving on.
Right.
Make sure you get on that in the next 50 years.
Right.
Let's
I
fix these deficiencies.
This just, it's just one sentence to explain all these trillions of dollars.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. They'd blame trillions of dollars of mysterious spending on a failure to correct system deficiencies. Mm-hmm. That's like, I'm not even going to say what that says. It's just like me saying I had sex with 100,000 wild hairless aardvarks just because I wasn't looking where I was walking, is what he says. He makes this point here going on. It also means that anytime our government says it doesn't have money for a project, it's clearly laughable. It can clearly create as much as it wants for bombing and death. This would explain how Donald Trump's military can drop well over 100 bombs a day that cost well north of $1 million each. So why can't our government also create endless money for healthcare, education, the homeless, veterans benefits, and the elderly?
Well, we don't have to make it worse. We could just, you know, stop at what they're already doing. We don't have to add to...
See, he's revealing his political beliefs
here. Sure.
And the answer is, they could. They could do that. They could just print out a bunch of.
They could
print out more and more and more money, and we could have, you know, rampant inflation, just like in Venezuela. And look at how healthy people are. Oh wait, no, you can't even get medicine in Venezuela because they've gone so crazy with inflation there. It has absolutely ravaged the economy and made it so people can barely even find food to eat there. So there are consequences to these actions, and this military thing. While he's right about, you know, them being ridiculous with this military spending, more and more government spending, more government inflation is not going to make the world a better place.
If one U.S. dollar was, in fact, worth one-tenth of a penny, that doesn't matter. It's how you get there that matters. If that's what it started out as,
cares? They got there by printing out more money.
Yeah, if they inflate at, you know, a tenth of a percent a year, that's not going to cause anywhere near as much harm as if they inflate that in 1 month.
Right. So, like, there used to be a thing called penny candy, you know, back in the day. You can't get that anymore.
Yeah, I think you could get, a cheap piece of bubble gum for 3 cents when I was a kid.
When you were a kid. That would have been in the
1970s. I've seen 5 cents at gas stations between here and Vermont.
For a piece of bubble gum?
For candy.
Okay. That's, still, that's something. But either way, you know, my point
is, it's probably just to keep the kids from taking a whole handful of free candy. Way they, you know, they have to come up with something in order to get the piece.
Yeah.
I don't think you're making any money on on 3 cent candy. Yeah. 5 cent candy, excuse me.
Probably not. I can tell you that you go to a candy store, it ain't going to be a 5 cent candy. You're not going to find that. You go down to
a candy store has some higher quality stuff.
And rent to pay, things like that, yeah.
Sure. My point was going to be that prices have gone up over time, and that's because of the continual printing. So a dollar is not worth today. It does not buy what a dollar used to buy 100 years ago, right? Or even 50 or 20 or 10 years ago. And you can see that at the grocery store with the price of a loaf of bread. You can see it with, you know, all kinds of different things out there. We're not even close to how desperate of a situation it is down in Venezuela.
Because we don't have hyperinflation.
Right. So that's the question is, well, Mark was asking earlier, how long before this thing breaks? I don't know. It seems like they can string it out for a long damn time, doesn't
it? Right. It certainly does. Because the fact that these debt notes, the Federal Reserve notes that they have are, I mean, they're worse than worthless. I mean, they're a designation of debt. The country is $21 trillion in debt. The nation, the government, the organization that claims to be these things, it seems to be sort of irrelevant. It just keeps on chugging along.
The debt is irrelevant.
Yeah,
is what
the
you're
debt
saying.
Seems irrelevant.
Well, I think that it is from a societal collapse standpoint, or even from a government collapse standpoint, because I'm not aware of any law of economics that would say at X amount of value in debt,
something happens.
X happens.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's just the question is, can they keep their inflation rate under control? And if they can, then it seems like they can just make this thing go. Just to give you an example of how economically clueless many Americans are, here's a new poll from the Rasmussen folks, TheHill.com, reporting that nearly half of Americans would support a government program meant to guarantee a job to every citizen, according to a recent survey from Rasmussen, released within the last week or so, finds that 46% of respondents would support a plan by the federal government to guarantee all Americans a job that includes health insurance benefits. The news comes on the heels of several top possible 2020 Democratic presidential candidates endorsing the idea, including Senators Cory Booker and Kristen Gillibrand, and, of course, Bernie Sanders.
So let me ask you this, Ian. Currently, all Americans get some kind of welfare, right? Like, you can basically choose not to work if you want, right?
I guess. I mean, I don't get welfare.
Some amount of money. Well, they I'm not saying they get it, but they have it's available to them.
Okay.
And they also can, if they wish, claim free government health care, right?
Yeah.
So that's all this program's proposing, is to give you some meager wage and free government health care, which is what Americans can have now by not working. Why not have them work for the government for this anyway?
because it normalizes it and because I don't want the government to have more resources.
Other liberal causes also fared relatively well in the survey. 44% of Americans said they would support a ban on plastic shopping bags in their home state for environmental reasons.
Yeah,
and none of those people live on the fourth floor of an apartment.
Why is that? I don't understand. Oh, it's carrying.
Because you're carrying your groceries.
Well, what they want you to do is to have fabric bags. I mean, my wife and I must have 20 fabric bags from different organizations that give them to
us. I use fabric bags as carry-on luggage.
Okay, great.
That's what they're for.
Well, I use carry-on luggage for carry-on luggage.
I mean, that's nasty that you put in, like, raw meat in, like, this cloth bag. And I guarantee you, these people are not washing these things.
Yeah, that doesn't
Raw meat is wrapped in cellophane.
Not always.
It's in this little thin plastic thing that's open on one end.
How about milk containers, man? How many times has one of those things leaked in a bag that you've ever had?
None that I know of.
Well, it's happened to me on a couple of different occasions. Okay. Sometimes there's actually milk on the bottom of the container that gets into the bag. Sometimes it just might, you know, leak a little bit. Milk containers aren't the best sealed of containers.
Yeah,
out there.
They're not.
They don't have any washers in their seals or anything like that.
I think that, by the sounds of it, these people don't have a problem with people having to wash their fabric bags.
President Trump's approval rating is evenly split in the poll. 49% of Americans say they'd support the job Trump's doing compared to 49% who disapprove. More Americans, however, strongly disapprove of the job he's doing compared to strongly approve. Melanie, what is going on and where is it happening?
So this is from Yahoo, which apparently runs a news site, and Northern Lebanon School District, which is in Pennsylvania, have apparently decided that 1984 was not an instruction manual, it was the starter kit. So North Lebanon School District students in Pennsylvania must smile when walking the hallways at the institution or they will be punished, according to a report.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Which is an extreme form of abuse.
extreme form of abuse. Now, when you say that, I mean, normally when people think of abuse, they think of, like, physical beatings. And
that's because most people aren't licensed clinical psychologists.
You're saying this is worse than a physical beating?
That is a completely personal preference thing. We actually discussed something like that in my torture class, because apparently I had one. Yeah, that's psychological abuse versus physical abuse is...
They are different.
From what we can tell, personal preference.
Okay.
Well, I guess I would ask you this. If you're saying a beating versus this, is which is worse psychologically? A kid being forced to go to 13 years of government school education and forced to smile through it at the pain of a punishment, or one spanking.
Students who do not smile in the hallways between periods will be instructed to, and if they refuse, will be sent to the guidance counselor's office to talk through their problems, reported Lebanon Daily News. Meanwhile, parents claim that reports of bullying in the district are mostly ignored by administrators. So, yeah, if the regular school officials can't force you into this weird submission, this weird Stockholm submission, then they're going to send you to the professionals, the experts. Teacher.
Yeah, I do. I guess I have a small amount of sympathy for the school officials here. You know, like, I certainly wouldn't want to be dealing with these morose Gen Zers that are sort of wandering around like, oh, I'm depressed, I have anxiety, blah, blah, blah.
Then don't work at a high school.
Agreed. Yeah.
If you hate kids, don't work at a school.
Yep. That's pretty much how it goes.
It's not like a field you fell into. You had to go to school specifically for that. You had to go to college specifically for that.
Yep.
It's not like that's all you could get was McDonald's or a hotel. Like, you chose this career.
Yeah, it just seems really eerie, too. Like, can you imagine walking through the high school hallways and everybody's got a smile plastered onto their face? What I really want to hear, if you have it, is a quote from some bureaucrat who actually supports this. Like, what do they have to say for themselves? The idea of, we want to force all government school students, and we're not sure if it's the entire school district or if it's just this one high school that's doing this. We want to force every government school student to have a smile on their face as they're walking about the hallways. That's what's happening in Lebanon, or Lebanon. I don't know how they pronounce it in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they don't have that. Then the rest of our article was a quote from a student, and then pretty much the school saying...
What's the student say?
If you don't smile, you get called to the office or down to see your guidance counselor, Juliana said. You have to talk about your problems then. You have to.
you have to.
Or you get detention.
As though wow. you... Because you don't have a smile smeared on your face, you have problems. I mean, I'm sure that I most of the day I don't have a smile on my face, but I believe me, my problems are minuscule compared to other people's. I don't feel like I've got problems. I mean, I'm a little stressed, I suppose, but you know, big deal. That's life, right?
I heard a story that for 30 years there was always person, at least one person going to the Bible study on Wednesday. And there was one night that
what
nobody showed up for some reason.
You talking about like at some church? Do you go to a church? What? Give us a little more of a paint the picture a little better.
I'm going to have to hear more.
Well, my point is nobody showed up, and that was the day when the gas line blew up. It's really ironic.
So what are you talking about? What are you talking about in Albuquerque?
No, I'm talking about. I heard about it in a metaphysical. It was like a show, like metaphysical show of some kind of church. So you don't know where this story took place.
You don't know what time frame.
No.
You just know there was a Bible study somewhere and a gas line blew up because no one showed up, or you believe it was because no one showed up to the Bible study?
Well, my point is I'm bringing up the psychic phenomena is that people, for some reason, if you ask all of them, how come you never showed up? They never had any. They're just caught up with doing stuff. They never knew why they never showed up.
This is the most disjointed call I think you've ever made. I mean, normally you're pretty easy to follow. You tend to call about similar things, like you're really obsessed with traffic rules and red light cameras and speeding tickets and things like that because you want to enforce those things on people.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.